I was having a shit.
Hello and welcome back to Kimmy's Toilet Break. We're here for a third week, not quite in a row, but we did get a few more listens, so we've stuck with it.
Very happy.
And we're back for the Indian Grand Prix. Where should we start?
We should probably start. We're not going to talk about practice.
No,
I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch any practice. No idea what happened.
Boring. So qualifying.
Ferrari tried to slipstream again. They told Massa to go out there and break up that pesky air for Alonso. But they didn't really work. They had a thing in with like Anthony Davidson kind of saying, you know, like this is doing some analysis and saying that, you know, this proves that they were doing it and it was working. And they did a slow-mo replay and he was like, you know, okay, look at the speed as they go past this, like, you know, sign at the side of the road and then look at the speed here. And then they compared it to the next lap. It was 2 kilometres an hour difference. So surely
that's just incidental.
Yeah, exactly. He might have taken the last corner before that straight a bit.
It's just Alonso going, I want him to know who his boss is.
Yeah, is that just Alonso like kind of increasing the chances that Massa doesn't qualify very well by going, Q3, can you just go round and drive slowly in front of me? Give me an escort.
Maybe
round.
The better.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. But then Massa did have a spin. Which was good. It was always entertaining to see.
That was the first corner, wasn't it, that everyone was having trouble with a bit?
The corner that he span on, I don't know what number corner it was.
Right.
Was it actually the first corner? It was kind of almost a hairpin.
It's the same one that De La Rosa went off in the race.
He turned into it, and then he just kept turning and kept turning, and then spun, pirouetted, and carried on going backwards. Yeah, not so good. But I can't remember who was commentating. I guess it was Brundle, and he was like, there's another little adventure there for Felipe. So I think it would be quite a good idea for a cartoon strip, like, you know, like McLaren do too.
I think they should
do the Adventures of Felipe and Rob.
Oh.
And it could be like nothing to do with F1. It's just like him at the supermarket and Rob on the phone to him going, "Turn right down the cornflake aisle, Felipe."
I imagine every episode would start like Morecambe and Rise. They're both in bed.
Yeah, definitely like skip down in their pajamas. Rob makes the porridge. Yeah. When they went to the SkyPad, they kept going back to the SkyPad. They love to use it, even though there's literally no point in it.
That's an iPad. Anthony Davidson is that small.
Real-life iPad.
Yeah. And they've got... Where's the other
Let's
one?
Let's go back up to the borrowers and see what they're saying.
It's an iPad mini, actually. They're like, oh, okay. Who's the girl that he does it with?
Georgie Thompson.
I
don't know who Georgie Thompson is. Off
of the Sky. Yeah, I do now. But I think they have her. You know, it's like one of those rooms where they have, like in the Jamiroquai video, where the perspective's all out. She's actually like 50 foot forwards of Anthony. They can't cross over each other.
Wouldn't he be 50 foot forward of her?
Oh, yeah. I'm good at perspective.
They kept cutting to them, and they kept looking like really taken aback by it. Like, you know, they really weren't ready for them to transfer up to the SkyPad, and I kept thinking... One time they were going to cut back to them and her hair would be all dishevelled as she's pulling her skirt down. Going, oh, sorry, guys. Oh, welcome back to the SkyPad. Anne, what were you saying?
That's near.
But yeah, I mean, nothing really happened in Q3. Q2, Jensen was quick. A little bit of false hope there.
God,
look, he can do it. And then he went slower in Q3.
Yeah, he was only like a couple of hundreds off... Vettel,
he was, yeah. Yeah, he was the only one near them.
Yeah.
But yeah, that didn't turn into anything. Perez was pretty quick in Q2, which McLaren must be pleased about. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, Schumi went out in Q2.
It's not a huge surprise, is it?
Grosjean went out in Q2, and he's been pretty good at getting up there recently. Mm. They must have been nervous.
Yeah.
He's right in the middle. He was near Maldonado as well, like we were saying last time.
Those
two in the middle of everyone.
Can you imagine?
Back.
Actually, in the race as well, they were close a couple of times. I've noticed all the onboards of Grosjean now. He's checking his mirrors
all the time. Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
Left, right.
Force Indias were really shit.
Vijay Mallya's apparently in all kinds of financial issues with Air Asia.
AirAsia.
Sorry, what's his airline? Kingfisher Airlines apparently have got like £1.5 billion worth of debt, and he's actually a warrant out for his arrest somewhere in India. That's good,
but maybe he was missold PPI.
Maybe I can text him.
He wants to keep an eye on his emails, and I reckon someone will be willing to. Have you got £1.5 billion worth of debt? Have you been missold PPI?
But he's, yeah, there's an arrest. This is true. There's an arrest warrant out for him in some region of India. Yeah, but not where the race was. And they said that the team's under threat.
Is that where they weren't really interviewing him?
Well, yeah, he was interviewed once in the pre-race. And
he was keeping this brief, guys. Yeah. I can't be moving on.
He's kind of looking around. Yeah, can see police running towards him in the background.
Yeah, so going into Q3. Croft had one of his, really insightful moments of sporting punditry when he went, well, you know, it's either going to be really close or Red Bulls will do it comfortably.
God, that is well worth
Thanks, Dave. Yeah, without that insight, I just wouldn't have known what to expect. But now you've cleared up that it's either going to be close or not. That's, you know, good to know. Good to know.
So how did it end up finishing? It was the
well, arc, do you know what, actually, David Croft was right.
He was right.
Yeah, it wasn't close. Red Bull did it comfortably. So. Yeah,
well done. Although, even if it had been the other way around, David Croft was right.
Oh, I see what he did there.
Yeah.
It's covering all bases. It's years of experience it takes to get that kind of bet hedging. So it finished up. It finished up in the biblical format.
Yeah, they were loving that. Brilliant.
Two by two.
Just not quite as many.
Two of every species of Formula One car. That was as expected. Red Bulls shut it out quite comfortably in the end. I mean, it was funny in the post race or post qualification at the interview, and they finished obviously 4,000th. Apart, I think. And so they were asking Seb about his lap, and he was going, oh, you know, I totally fucked it up, it was really shit. And then Webber obviously was a little bit slower than that, so he had to straight away go, yeah, and obviously, I mean, because if Seb's was bad, then mine must have been bad as well, because, you know, I didn't beat him, but he was probably thinking, I fucking got this at the end of that lap, that was the best lap I've ever done, and he lost by 4,000ths of a second, that was how it ended.
It was a shard, I mean, for the championship, it was a shame that the McLarens did get between the Ferraris. It was always going to be tricky that passed. Although when we come onto the race, you know, Fernando made a good.
He had a good fist of it, it was pretty much that's how it's going. I mean, they just looked so fast, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Vettel was fastest in all of the practices, and then smashed it in.
Well, Alonso did say before the race, "I'm now racing Nui."
Racing against Nui. Yeah,
I'd love that if Adrian Newey was in the car. Well, he just looks over. He's like, I actually am racing.
He's on the
Adrian
start
Newey.
Line doing a sprint start next to all the cars. Oh, Alonso said he was racing me. So. I had a dream before the race. It was really weird. I've never had it before. I've probably had Formula One dreams before, but I've never had a Formula One dream and then woken up and it's like, you know, the race is about to happen and it to be in context. And I had this really vivid dream that Red Bull won. With a 1-2.
Right.
And in my dream, they're interviewing the drivers. They're standing around, and it was the BBC guys, you know, like they do, and they had Mark Webber in, and they were like, oh, here comes Adrian Newey. And Adrian Newey came running in doing the aeroplane arms, because they just won. He's going, no! Like running in circles like an excited child round and round them. They were like, just calm down, Adrian, calm down. I thought, that's how he goes home. He goes home and celebrates like that.
Just runs around his
runs
house.
Around going, meow!
Although I imagine that he would probably have his hands out front trying to cut through the air. This is a little bit
I don't know where that came from. I mean, it did, the prophecy turned out to be true, but I was so disappointed in the interview when Newey wasn't running around doing the airplane arms. Livid.
So did you see Ted Kravitz's interview with Vettel?
I kind of caught it on out of the corner of my eye as I was getting up. I didn't see what
happened.
It was
quite a good interview. Vettel gave him a t-shirt, and it was had a little picture of Ted Kravitz, and he said Ted Kravitz Appreciation Society on it. It's like they're trying to win him round somewhere.
Yeah.
And then Kravitz asked him a really awkward question. He said, you know, you're about to win three championships, but do you think to be a true legend, you need to win it with different teams? And he went, the fuck? It was like he was going, that fucking t-shirt back, bastards, asking me questions like that. Just really hacked off. And then at the end of the interview, Kravitz was like, yeah, thanks for the t-shirt, I'm never going to wear it. It's like, all right, no effort. I think some intern at Red Bull probably made it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't suppose Vettel was like, oh no, I need to get Ted something, I haven't got him anything. It's his birthday,
isn't it? Don't ask me any tricky questions, but yeah, they obviously love Ted.
They do.
Did you see the pit stop challenge?
No, I didn't. I heard them mention about, they were like, that's a 3.8 pit stop for who it was, for like Lewis or something. He was like, it's not very good, but you know, still probably better than I did. I thought probably. I should think so.
Right, the Sky team managed a 3.9.
Really?
So it literally was only there. Yeah, it was amazing. Although it was only in one corner, so I don't know how they would have done. But that just seems. Do you think at the beginning of each season they go, right, one point we need to do a pit stop challenge? They seem to do it every.
They always
of weeks.
Do. Yeah, they always do. I don't know what it is. I think it's to reconfirm, because they fuck it up all the time, and everyone's like, oh. And I guess they want to in some way demonstrate that it's actually quite tricky, although that doesn't really work if they then go and do it faster than like the HRT mechanics during HRT are watching them do it.
Going, Natalie Pinkham, let's get her.
How much does Sky pay you?
But at one point, they came back to outside the Red Bull garage, and it was just Lazenby and Damon. But to the left of them was this massive green caterpillar made out of fiberglass, and I was like, brilliant, they've replaced Johnny Herbert with a massive fiberglass caterpillar. More insightful, which is excellent. And good choice.
Probably one more Grand Prix than him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. He was very smiley. Yeah. Wherever he was, didn't say very much.
You're really kind of creeping people out. We've got you a caterpillar costume because we think you're a bit less sinister. So the pit walk. So I didn't see all of it. I was kind of making tea and then
getting up and miss a pit walk.
Well, yeah, I know, but I just got up and I kind of, you know, I didn't want to miss the race, so I had to go and have a poo and everything before it started to go and put the kettle on. And I just heard, I had to ask my girlfriend, I heard Brundle say to Lewis something about his nipples, and I was like, what's he asking about his nipples? Apparently he walked up to him and said to Lewis, oh, normally I give Jensen a lucky nipple tweet, and Lewis just kind of awkwardly smiled. Right, okay.
It's a bit weird.
Brundle was going to go, back at you, Lewis, how about lucky punch in the face?
Punch in the bollocks.
Lucky knee in the bollocks.
That would be brilliant. He did then start playing with his own nipple, and I thought, I don't like where this is going. It's a little bit awkward. He's like, at first I was a bit uncomfortable, actually. Quite like this.
Psyching out Lewis.
Yeah, but before the pit walk started, they were sort of off camera looking up at the grandstand, and it was slowly panned down, but as it was panning down, it was Brundle on off camera going, I'm just hanging loose under the grandstand. It's like, I expected it to pan down and Brundle's got his cock
standing there, balls out
just walking through.
Oh, it's warm in India.
Did you see Brundle mentioned that he's annoyed Boulier?
Yeah, so there was lots of talk about how, like, Renault's definitely been sold to Proton, apparently.
Okay,
but
Proton, who own one of the other teams, the Lotus team. Used to be Lotus, KTM.
Oh, right, I was going to say, because that's Renault, that's what I'm talking about.
The problem is, I just call them all Lotus now.
Yeah, exactly. So he went to ask Boulier about it, and then Boulier was talking, wasn't he?
He was talking to another dude who I didn't recognise. And they could see Brundle coming, and
it literally dispersed.
They were like, oh shit, it's going to kick off.
Yeah, Boulier is about to
headbutt
him. Yeah, exactly. So then in the warm-up lap, I noticed they must have noticed it, and that's why they did an onboard shot. But Carter Kern was warming his tires, if that makes any fucking difference, down the straight. And they had the onboard camera that's kind of looking up at his head. And he's like got an elastic neck, and his head's just pinging left and right as he swerves. And it just looked like he was going, whee!
That's his favourite bit of the race.
Yeah, exactly. But his head's just going, boof, boof, like either side of the cockpit.
He's doing most of the race concussed. He doesn't realise it's supposed to hold
your neck, yeah. It really made me laugh. And then, Lewis came on the radio and went, guys, the radio quality is really bad. Engineer comes on, Lewis, that's your Kanye CD.
Yeah, it's like, can I put Nicole's new track on? Some N-dogs.
Yeah. Oh, dear. Yeah.
weeks, but did you see the steering wheel switch during the
pit stop? They did a pit.
Mad skills. That was amazing.
I'd say it was amazing.
It was just taking off a
steering wheel and putting one on.
But I imagine
that could go wrong quite easily. Yeah. Imagine that would be amazing if they did it. And you know, like when a wheel's not attached properly and it comes back off, if the steering wheel just came flying out as he pulls away.
And if it came flying off at 200 miles an hour on the straight, that might. Actually, that would be terrible. But quite funny.
We don't want them to die, but I'd like to see, yeah.
Do you reckon that it's like. Do you think that's a bad thing? Do you think he gets used to that steering wheel? They're all the same, aren't they?
I reckon they're the same, Tom. Do you know what? It's not like we've got one off the 1984 Audi 4000. It's got most of the same buttons. Just pop that one on, it'll be fine.
It's all a bit different. Yeah, I imagine they do make them the same. Right, that's why I'm not an engineer at a F1 team.
Yeah, just one of the reasons. Yeah. Apart from that.
Only one.
It's only your steering wheel knowledge that's holding you back. Keeps failing on the steering wheel test. So on to the race, and quite an exciting start. Vettel kind of just dived over, squeezed Webber out, but Webber got as good a start as he ever does. So
not very good, but
he didn't totally balls it up, and no one got past him, and they were so quick off the mark that was basically it until right at the end of the race, or until the last kind of 15 laps. But I mean, Vettel, he just fucked off miles in the lead again. He's good, isn't he?
He's quite good. I think he might win a championship.
He's got a future ahead of him. Yeah, he knuckles down.
The Hamilton bogged down quite a lot as well. He
did, and Jensen just got straight round him, didn't he? But that was one of the most exciting first laps that there's been in for ages. And it's because it was, I mean, they said it in the commentary, it's because it was three great drivers that they didn't crash. But they were three abreast in a kind of slightly different order for all of the first four corners, and they didn't hit each other.
And that was incredible. Such a buzz as well, you know, you're alongside Hamilton and Alonso fighting.
Yeah, well,
lead.
I mean, all three of them were champions, side by side.
This is amazing.
It's so good. I love it. I mean, Alonso, balls of steel, just saw them squabbling and dove up the inside, got round and got ahead of them. And you kind of thought that might be it. But then fair play to Jensen. And he came straight back in, didn't he? And
took
him. Alonso eventually got back in front of the McLarens. And from that point, apart from at the pit stop, Jensen and Lewis didn't move places again till the end of the race. Massa kind of got shown up again, just stayed where he was, didn't he?
He was holding off Raikkonen, wasn't he, for quite a while? Wanted Raikkonen to get past.
I thought Raikkonen was definitely going to get through. And I mean, Massa was running out of fuel, which they've obviously decided is the only way that they can make him not look totally fucking rubbish. They're like, well, Massa, you can either finish the race, but be humiliated, or we'll put half the fuel in.
And you'll be well quick.
You'll be really quick, and we'll just say we had a technical problem. the first half of the race certainly was just... you know, after that first corner, Alonso got through, and then it was just kind of the chase was on, and he was kind of keeping Webber honest, but you know, Vettel was pissing off miles ahead, and he wasn't really making any great
over those first few laps. It was inroads. Quite depressing because you wanted Alonso to get past because the Ferrari was looking quick.
It was looking,
you know,
really
after
good. I mean,
you could see what he was carrying, the speed on the long straights, and I was just dying for him to get past the McLarens, but. I think maybe if he'd done it a bit earlier, he might have had a chance of getting close. I was amazed, actually, at the speed of the Ferrari in race trim.
Because after that first corner, when Alonso got back past, he just cruised past them, didn't
Absolutely.
He, on the straights. It was ridiculous. He came from so far behind, and it was just like they weren't there. And they said straight away, oh, McLaren have really fucked up their top gear, the seventh gear here, and they just hadn't left themselves enough.
So the HRTs had brake problems very early on. I think De La Rosa within 10 laps.
They did, yeah. I don't know who's making their brakes.
Who's making their wing? Who's making their engine?
Yeah, it seems that we only focus on the top three teams and HRT.
I know, we're mean, aren't we?
They're comedy shitness. But they are, and another brake failure. I mean, they said it. They've got to have balls of steel to get in that car.
Yeah, De La Rosa was lucky that his brakes went at the point they did, rather than...
Yeah, I mean, a brake failure can just be the most terminal of crashes, can't it? So it's really, but it's like the HRT mechanics are going, we've got nothing, guys. All we've got is turn the brakes off. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. We can't go any faster, so let's go less slowly.
And they
put something in that degrades.
I think they've realised that Carter Khan is just holding the brake down all the time. He's just so scared. The handbrake's on.
Yeah, exactly. So they've just decided to do away with braking. So last season.
Made of Kit Kat wrappers.
Yeah. That wasn't good.
I mean, it did. I was like, respect. I wouldn't go in a car at 200 miles an hour. Well,
with
150 miles an hour, yeah, where
with
the brakes might
flaky
break.
Brakes. Yeah, but they did. But yeah, I mean, round with the back of the pack, there wasn't really anything interesting,
Well, Schumacher was back there again. That must be really nice for the HRT drivers. They're like,
have a race with Schumacher. Yeah, this is amazing.
I think Schumacher just wants to get through now.
Through the end of the season.
In whatever, I don't want to say anything like, doesn't want to die at the end of the season, but I think you just like, had enough of this, just get me through it.
Yeah, and it's almost like now, you know, at least he had an accident, so, you know, ready-made excuse. Mm. Oh, fuck it.
It's a shame now. A bit of me wants him to win the last race or something.
Clearly not going to. Never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
Do you reckon Seb will be like, oh, Michael, you deserve it. You can have a go in my car this week. And then Vettel will win it in the Mercedes. When Webber's, his curves went, didn't it?
Yes.
And that was what let Alonso really catch back up. Because it was kind of cat and mouse, and Alonso was catching him, and then they were going, oh, no, it's probably nothing's going to happen of it. And then suddenly Alonso was, you know, I don't know if it was intermittent or something, but then suddenly Alonso was just miles faster again and breezed past him. And at that point, they were saying to Lewis, you know, Mark's car's fucked. He's got no curves. You can catch him. And Lewis made up, like, he was, like, 4 seconds behind, closed it to about two, and went, oh, I can't catch him. Like, Lewis, you've got 10 laps left. You're 2 seconds behind him. You're catching him at a second lap or something. It was just so annoying. I thought,
He could have.
And even if you're Lewis, and you just, you know, he clearly doesn't give a shit anymore, but even so, think your prospective employers don't want to hear you going, oh, I can't catch him.
Yeah.
And then Webber carried on being slow, and he fucking almost did.
He could have.
And the
he
last
really
few laps was so exciting, and it really looked like he was going to. And if he'd not gone, oh, I can't catch him, guys,
He did fuck up a couple of corners as well at the end. He just, it would have made an exciting finish. And he was only a couple of car lengths as, well, not.
It was seven tenths as they went over the
finish
line.
Very close
at
the finish. So,
so that was
poor show, Hamilton.
It was, yeah. Naughty Hamilton. Bad
Little
Hamilton. Yeah. Massa, as we said, kind of ran out of fuel. He was battling Raikkonen, wasn't he? Raikkonen had
Where
his typically
Massa
consistent
finish,
race. I think he was sixth or seventh.
Right, okay.
I think did Raikkonen finish sixth and Massa seventh?
I'm wondering whether they swapped. I know that Raikkonen was behind Massa for quite a while, and I was really urging him to go because he was driving well. Someone in the pre-race was saying Raikkonen's fitness is not looking good. And actually,
really? That's not like him.
All those ice creams and vodka jellies
Do you reckon he gets to this point in the season? He's like, well, I can't win.
Yeah,
I can't win the world championship. I'm just going to have some cake.
But I did notice that he was looking a bit fuller in the face and very sweaty after qualifying. But he's going to be totally dead afterwards. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a kind of slow and steady performance for him.
It must be annoying if you're an engineer trying to save like 2 kilograms off a bit of weight, and then he just turns up and he's put on half a stone
with a chalk ice in his hand.
Yeah, what's
move for cargo?
What's the fucking point? I mean, yeah. Do you reckon they make them like take laxatives and stuff for the race to clear them out?
I don't think they make them take laxative. I think they might do it with Kimi.
Yeah.
I think they kind of trust the rest of their you know, trust their professionalism, that they're not just going to eat bacon sandwiches before the race. But
pretty sure you could, you know, a couple of pounds
yeah,
before the race.
Of pounds here and there.
Adrian
yeah.
knew he's going to appreciate that.
So I mean, there was some good performances lower down the pack. I guess, like we're saying, that the Force Indias had a really shit race, and the Mercs both kind of got fucked. So it's hard to know to some extent, but the Williams were looking a bit faster. Senna made a good pass on Rosberg.
Yeah,
pretty leery pass.
That was for the 10th, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was quite ballsy. And I guess Senna's, you know, he's got something to prove now, hasn't he? Because everyone's just been talking about how he's probably going to go.
I've noticed, you know, they have those photos of the drivers before. His mugshot, he just looks like Screech from Saved by the Bell. I can just imagine him.
Yeah, he does actually. I think he might take might take slight offence at that. I mean, just objectively, he's a tiny bit better looking than Screech from Saved by the Bell.
No.
But I know where you're coming from. I mean, maybe, I don't know what happened to Screech from Saved by the Bell.
I think
maybe
he became a porn star.
I did hear that, and then maybe it was there to F1.
Yes, have they ever been seen in the same room at the same
no,
time?
No, well, exactly.
There you go, that's sorted out then.
There was a moment where it looked like it could get interesting with a bit of Vettel's car, like the plank underneath
the plank.
Came loose, and it was sparking away. And
that was cool. I thought more
it was
sparks
good.
Than
it
F1.
Was good in the super super slow motion, high motion, whatever they call it. It must be like kind of I don't know how many FPS they are, but it looks like it's like kind of 2,000 or 3,000 frames per second, because you can see the sparks kind of dissipating and it looked amazing. I was hoping that it was going to dig in and catapult his car off the track, but it didn't, unfortunately. But the other teams like kind of feverishly started obviously radioing, and particularly Alonso, to say Vettel's car's breaking, and they had this fantastic bit of team radio where I think it was Brundle on the commentary, it was like, oh, they're doing the Italian thing again. It's like,
what,
speaking Italian like where they come from. I'm sure it's not beyond the other teams going, I've got no idea what this crazy,
what's this crazy language
speaking in tongues, I don't know. There's no way we can decipher this shit. And they just had this radio communication of him going, excuse the slight racism, going plank on floor.
I did notice that. I was like, why are they mixing it up?
Yeah, I don't know.
They just test, because Alonso can speak like 4 or 5 languages. I reckon it's every other word is different
language. Yeah, well, I wouldn't know, but I just love it when they're speaking in this fluent Italian, and then go plank on the floor.
Plank on the floor.
At the end, I think that was like, to surmise, the plank is on the floor.
They did think they would. Yeah, they thought it looked dangerous, and you would think that would have quite an effect on the kind of airflow underneath the car.
The airflow underneath
as well.
The car, but I guess by that point he's 10 seconds ahead. There was about 10 laps ago and it happened. Oh, excuse me, this is a really exciting podcast. flagging a little bit. But yeah, nothing came of it.
Lenny Kravitz went up to the Ferrari pit wall, and they apparently pointed at a screen that they've got that translates all the other radio communication into Italian for them.
Oh, right, okay.
Isn't that amazing? They've
that
got someone
amazing.
Back at Maranello, translating it, or they've got the actual Babelfish from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy translating everything on the
I'm
on
sure
the
they're
fly.
Just doing Google Translate, aren't they?
I'd love it if all the information they're getting is
it's
completely
like
wrong.
Pigeon English, when it's been translated really poorly.
Actually, talking to the plank's actually the only bit on Little Factoids, the only bit on the car that has to be made of wood, apparently.
Yeah, I remember them hearing that, because it's got to be able to kind of, it can't, they don't want it to fuck up the track, and it does hit the floor.
Yeah.
And they measure it, don't they? They measure it underneath to make sure that not too much of it is rubbed away.
That just seems so backward, doesn't it?
It does.
There's some man, I imagine there's some guy who's like.
Yeah, there's the whole factory, and then there's, the carpenter in the back.
Yeah, got another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just seems quite un F1-ish, but I kind of like it. I'm wondering what
on the Ferrari, it's probably made of like varnished mahogany or something on the underside.
Walnut.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's any other. They should have some other bits that like you've got to make this out of. Like the gear stick has to be like onyx or something.
Yeah.
Really dodgy.
Got to
demon
make the,
tweaks.
Yeah, the rear wing out of MDF. HRT just do that anyway. They're not,
yeah, but we've made the whole thing out of wood. Shit. Misread the regulations again.
They know when they talk about teams having their unique interpretations of the rules.
We made it out of marshmallows this week.
So I did quite like that, Vettel always goes for wants the fastest lap and everything, and Jensen had it, and then on the last lap, I was like, oh, you fucker, when he went over the line, they went, oh, Vettel's got the fast lap. But then Jensen did it.
Yes.
Jensen came through. So, fifth and out of the world championship, but the fastest lap. So
probably gets a
go Jensen. Annoyed. That's pretty good, isn't it?
He loves the stats, doesn't he? When they told him...
He almost cried on the fucking podium when he went, 200 laps in the lead of a Grand Prix, and, Ayrton Senna, the great Ayrton Senna was 265 and don't say things like that! And then started eulogising Ayrton Senna and finished by going, but he's a really nice guy. Excuse me? Didn't he die when you were 7? Were you hanging out with him, were you?
He was really, no, he was really sound. Really? Like, oh no, is that a different Senna? Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Really goes,
oh, bloody hell, I didn't realise that guy in the Williams
was Bruno so going, that's amazing. I watched that film behaviour the other week.
Yeah, go. But do you
I didn't watch it to the end. What happens at the end? Crampets is still underused. Do you reckon they've tried so many times to get him two commentaries? I just can't do it. Because you think he would be...
I don't know. I think he's really suited to the role that he has.
I love the role he does. So I'd want him to do everything. It's like run down from the commentary box, go to the pit wall, run back. And...
I don't know, though. I don't think he's suited to the commentary. I think he... I love the way he comes in. He's just like, just thought you'd like to know, guys. And then just like impart something really crucial. And he's like, yeah, so... interesting. And then just fucks off again.
He's like, I'm going to go and find something else now.
Yeah, but he does. I want to know. I'd love to see that, like the camera of like what he actually does. He's like, I'm just going to go and find... Do you reckon he just walks into the garage and he's like, what's going on, guys? Come on, tell me.
The lowdown.
Talk to me.
Talk to me. It's like, Kravitz is coming out, something interesting for him.
Yeah.
No, I do like him.
So then, so Vettel won the race and his celebrations are fucking annoying and always does something really dickish. But not to be outdone, his mechanic decided to do the crazy frog.
It wasn't funny when everyone at my school was downloading it onto their phone.
Yeah, it's not even ironic, it's not kitsch, it just makes you sound like a cunt.
Yeah, there we go.
Fact. True fact.
True fact.
So sorted that out. Don't do it again. Thanks. And then, yeah, I noticed when Vettel got out his car, he seemed to have, you know, those blue kind of like, swady things you get on aeroplanes. It's like that you blow up. He seemed to have one of them on, like underneath his neck support. So he's getting so bored being out there. He's like, come on, guys, give us one of those pillow things. Just have a little nap for the last few laps.
Put us in Mr. Doku bit.
Yeah. He's got a book of crosswords and his reading glasses.
No, I think he's actually got his pad of stats in there. He's like, yep, fastest lap in India, done, tick.
I mean, I'm sure it probably is something, you know, a bespoke one for F1.
They do say that
like shaved off the frills from it and stuff. But
they do say that their next, well, you can imagine, especially in that very high speed.
Maybe it's full of helium and it makes them lighter. So then they came out onto the podium, and it started off with this super zoom of all these like guys doing like kind of, you know, traditional. It's probably not traditional Indian dance, though. It's probably like stereotypical for Westerners Indian dance up on the podium.
Yeah.
And they started off with it super zoomed in, and it panned out. And really disappointingly, the podium was below it because I thought Vettel was going to like, you know, saunter out sideways, like doing a little shimmy and join
and he
in.
He would. If he was given the opportunity.
He fucking would, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
And they'd all join in a traditional Indian victory dance.
I think that
they didn't. They just got on the podium and gave out
Eddie
trophies.
Jordan would have. I imagine the BBC coverage is just him doing the dance.
I mean, I bet his shirt was good this week. Yeah. You have to watch the highlights just to see what he was wearing. Shirt. Strong shirt from EJ. And then they handed out the trophies. Webber looked like a slapped arse on a cold day, didn't he? He just was not happy to be there. And he got third, and he got a really big cheer and kind of pointed at the podium in a kind of, at the trophy, sorry, when he picked it up, kind of like, this is what I was going for, guys, third.
Third, done.
All the way.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a good third for him, but it was still third. He's still not going to win the drivers, and yeah. And then they did I really don't like the champagne spraying in F1. I know it is part of it, but the problem with F1 is it's got this image of being, like, you know, quite gaudy and ostentatious and, you know, elitist, and it's just for the rich. And they don't help themselves by playing that music and pissing expensive champagne all over. And
throw some diamonds into
the crowd. Yeah, they just piss champagne all over each other in this, like, orgy of self-congratulations. With aren't we fucking great, aren't we? And it just really makes my toes curl. It's like, yeah, in India, there's, like, people in, like, complete fucking...
It is a developing country, don't you know?
Yeah, I know that we're watching F1, so, you know, it's hypocritical, but it's like, you could not do that bit, maybe. Mm. But what I did like was, I like to use that as a kind of barometer of how the drivers feel about each other. And how much they like each other, who they champagne in the face, and the kind of there is really sexual undertones when they're like, "Well, having a face, having a face."
<In the mouth.
Yeah, and when they do it to themselves, there's something really unsettling about
that. I've seen shit like photos in the paper where they cut it above just, their hands.
There's just white froth squirting in their mouth.
Eyes closed. Disgusting.
Yeah. But, yeah, they were like, and now the bit we'll be looking forward to, and then Vettel just, like, turned his back on Webber, and Webber was just left spraying in the back of the head. and Vettel was doing it to Alonso, so there's a really clear hierarchy of, like, you are better than me, but he is better than me.
You imagine him just to, it's like, oh, when's Webber just going to stop it and just turn around and
baseball bat around the head off the podium. Yeah,
and they had another interview on the podium, which I still haven't got used to. It was Brundle, so
it was Brundle, and it was pretty good. It wasn't too cringing. I said about him interviewing Vettel and almost making him cry, reminding him of his great mate Ayrton Senna. But he introduced them on the podium, or like introduced the podium interviews by going, "Ladies and gentlemen, and Jonathan." Nothing. No reaction. There was no laugh. Tough crowd. But to someone, that must have been fucking hilarious. I don't know who it was.
Yeah.
But that was obviously an in joke. Do you reckon it's Ledyard?
Nah. I don't think you'd want to acknowledge Jonathan Ledyard still exists, actually.
That's true.
Maybe it's for a bet, maybe it's for his son or something. Yeah. But yeah, very, very random.
Really, really peculiar.
But he was good. I didn't actually see it.
Well, yeah, he was alright. It wasn't, I mean, Eddie Jordan did it pretty well for him. It made more sense than he normally does. But It was just, you know, it was like a normal Brundle interview. It wasn't too bad. And yeah, I kind of gave up there. I didn't listen to any of the other stuff.
No, I've got it taped. I'm going to watch it later.
Got it taped. Got it on VCR.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, that was pretty much it. So where does that leave the championship?
I don't know. I actually don't know. 17-point difference now, I believe.
I mean, it's hard to see. Obviously, anything can happen in as much as Vettel could, crash.
He had a Kurs issue like Webber had this week.
It's funny, peculiar, isn't it? The way that Kurs seems to break on Webber's car every week, but Vettel's is mysteriously absolutely fine.
Because they keep giving him...
Seb's brushing up on his amateur mechanics on Mark's car.
That's how... Yeah, don't fuck with Vettel. He's like, what's he doing to the car? Oh, just leave him alone. Golden child.
He can do what he wants. Yeah, or the man with a golden finger, as he was described by David Croft, rather suspiciously.
Yeah.
Thought, there's a lot you're not telling us there to explain that comment, I'm afraid.
What the hell is that all about?
Yeah.
It's the finger up at the end of the race, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I know, but let's just pretend he's talking about Vettel bumming him with his finger. It's much funnier that way. so we will be back in 2 weeks, 1 week?
1 week.
1 week, next week. We'll be back next week for the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix. Hope to have you join us then.
Yeah, please leave us a rating or something. Do feel free
to acknowledge that this podcast exists. Thanks very much, guys.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye.